A few days ago, the U.S. President Barack Obama gave to the Joint Congress his first State of the Union address, and there are ongoing evaluations now of his first year of presidency, and both the evaluations as well as his State of the Union address are largely economic. And as far as his economic evaluation is concerned, he has both admirers and critics alike. For after all, you can never really please everybody in politics, and definitely not in economics. There are those who say that he has addressed the problem of recession decisively, and yet there are as many who would say that he has made the problem even worse with his policy and decisions. Well, fortunately for you and me, while we make our own economic evaluation of our lives, I think for all of us, it's private. Time Magazine or CNN will not waste time analyzing what you have made of your economic status. Hindi tayo pag-aaksayahan ng Time Magazine o ng CNN o ng media, ano na bang iyong kabuhayan ngayon. For most of us, our economic evaluation will be private. We evaluate it privately. And yet, just like in much of the evaluation of a presidency, of an administration, our evaluation is often one-dimensional. Malimit yung ating paninimbang ng ating kabuhayan ay nasa isang pananaw lamang. And the evaluation is in terms of how much income, how much in terms of wealth gained, in terms of profit earned. It is almost always on the side of what has been received as far as our economic condition is concerned. And that's where we make an estimation or measurement of whether we are on the black surplus or on the red deficit. Diba, ganyan tayo manimbang kung tayo ba ay surplus or deficit. At doon natin tinitingnan kung naging mabuti ba yung ating pangkabuhayan, tayo ba'y kumita, tayo ba'y nalugi. And what we do with our economic evaluation is just expanded manifold in society and in the government. But for the Christian, this should not be a sufficient way of evaluating our economic condition. We must measure our giving as well. Dapat nating timbangin yung ating pagbibigay. And we are indeed thankful to the Lord for guiding us through our budgetary evaluation and decision this year. And I have always said, we take it seriously because ultimately it is a matter of stewardship. Ito ay pinagkatiwala sa atin ng Diyos. Dapat nating seryosohin ang mga usaping pananalapi sa ating iglesia. And this is something we exercise as a responsibility for the kingdom. And in touching on financial matters in the church, what is involved is not something that is akin to corporation concerns. As I've always said, we do not decide financial issues in the church in terms of profitability. We decide in terms of our duty to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, it comes back to our attitude of giving. And so we are using such a time of the year when we consider the budget to consider as well our attitude to giving. And we have been using incidents that give us exemplary images of what giving should be like. Tinitingnan natin yung mga pangyayari sa Biblia kung saan hinahamon tayo sa anong uri dapat yung pagbibigay natin. In the first, I used the episode of David's life in which he determined that he would not give anything to the Lord that did not cost him anything. And I said that the message there is consciousness of offering to the Lord motivates giving that costs. So that's one exemplary giving, yung pagbibigay na talagang gumugugol. Then secondly, we looked at one episode in the life of Abraham that resulted in the first act of tithing in biblical history. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. And from there, I drew the message, grateful giving shares proportionate to God's blessings. Kung tayo ay nagbibigay ng may pagpapasalamat, ang pagbibigay na yan ay ayon sa bahagdan ng pagpapala sa atin ng Diyos. We come to the last of this brief series of exemplary giving, and I want to say that our giving should be one that is free from a computing attitude. I invite you now to turn to several passages in the scriptures. First is 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. The passage is from verse 1 to verse 16, but we'll just read a few portion of this passage. 1 Chronicles 29, you know the situation in which David wanted to build the temple, but God told him he could not because his hands are full of blood, because he was a man of war. Instead, the project would be left to his son Solomon to complete. But then, David did not leave it at that. David instead started a funding for the temple project. And this was the result of this funding. 1 Chronicles 29, let's read first verses 1 to 5. 1 Chronicles 29, 1 to 5. Furthermore, King David said to all the congregation, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God I have prepared with all my might, gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses, the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord." So there was a challenge extended to the people, and then the people responded to the challenge, to the great marvel of David. Now we jump to verse 10, 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 16. "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make, in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you. As were all my fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope." In verse 16, "O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own." Now I invite you to jump to the New Testament. There's a counterpart of this which has the same attitude displayed. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You're familiar with the Macedonian churches whom Apostle Paul commended. 2 Corinthians 8 verses 1 to 7. 2 Corinthians 8, 1. "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." Now just last text, simple statement from our Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So as I've said, yung salaysay dito sa kronika, ninais ni David na magtayo ng bahay ng Diyos sa pamagitan ng templo, ngunit bagamat yon ay marubdob niyang hangarin sa kanyang puso, pinigilan siya ng Diyos. Hindi para sa kanya ang magtayo ng gusaling para sa Diyos. Ito ay ibibigay kay Solomon na kanyang anak. At ang dahilan ay sapagkat si David ay ginamit ng Diyos para sa digmaan, pagsakop ng mga lupain. Ngunit dahilan doon, ang kanyang kamay daw ay puno ng dugo at hindi maari para gamitin sa pagtayo ng templo. Now, David did not leave it at that. He did not sulk in the corner and said, well, kung ayaw niya, di huwag. Well, that wasn't David's attitude. He was not allowed to be the one to undertake the building project, but nonetheless, he prepared for it. So that when it was Solomon's time, there was enough to build the temple with. Nagkaroon na ng sapat na pondo ng panahon na si Solomon na magtatayo, at ang dahilan niya ay si David. Inihanda niya, nagbigay siya ng sarili niyang pondo at mula sa kanyang kayamanan, at hinamo niya ang bayan, hinamo niya ang mga tao na sila man ay magbigay, at nagulat nga siya sa naging resulta ng kanilang pagbibigay. And this is something which has still bearing on us. Our passage narrates the tremendous response of the people by way of their offering in order to prepare Solomon. And let me tell you that there is one who is greater than Solomon in our midst. Solomon will have his means, but this is a tremendous lesson on liberal giving, especially for us who have one greater than Solomon's temple. The fulfillment of the temple in the New Testament primarily is the Lord Jesus himself. Remember, destroy this temple and I will build it in 3 days, and he was talking of himself. He was talking of his body. But secondarily, the temple is perpetuated in the church. So whatever lesson of giving we may learn from David and his people in preparation for the temple project, this is a lesson we do well to take heed concerning the church. Kung anumang prinsipyo ang umiral sa pagbibigay ni David at ang kanyang bayan para sa gawain ng templo, mabuting at makinabang tayo sa prinsipyo na yon, sapagkat may mas dakila kaysa templo ngayon sa pamamagitan ng iglesia. It is no wonder that this virtue of liberality is cited by Paul and commended in the Macedonian churches. If that was true of the churches in the New Testament, let it be true of our church. That it could be said of us that there is free and willing liberality in GBC. My message is this: zeal for God's cause in His kingdom will free our giving with liberality. Yung sigasig para sa Diyos at sa simulain ng kanyang kaharian ay palalayain yung pagbibigay natin ng may kaluwagan. Zeal for God's cause in His kingdom will free our giving with liberality. So the last exemplary giving is free liberality. Now the opposite of free liberality, I call calculating possessiveness. Yung kabaligtaran ng malayang kaluwagan ay yung kinikwenta na lang lahat-lahat sa kanyang pagbibigay. Always computing because he's afraid he might give too much. The attitude of David and his people, and later of the Macedonian churches, was one of zeal for the kingdom of God. And because of that zeal, their giving was willing, free, liberal. Opposite of the computing, calculating, and scared of giving too much. Now, if we have that attitude of zeal for God's kingdom, it will connect to the hands that give. Kung meron tayong sigasig sa kaharian ng Diyos, durugtong ito sa kamay na nagbibigay. It will become, our hands will become open free and liberal. And I ask you as a challenge today, are they? Are they? Well, based on the evaluation we made of our budget last year, yes, we can say that God has given us the grace, but we continue to grow in that grace. That's the challenge of Paul to the Corinthians. Ginamit niyang halimbawa yung mga Macedonians. Ang sabi nila, ganito ang mga Macedonians, at ang sabi niya sa mga Corinthians, you are growing in gifts, in speech, in all these things. Grow in this grace also. Meaning, grow in giving. And let me use the same challenge. Thank God we have that attitude of liberal giving. But grow even more. And in order to grow even more, may I suggest three attitudes. First, mindful of spending. Pag-isipan ang mga gastusin. Mindful of spending. Second, thankful for receiving. Magpasalamat sa tinatanggap. And thirdly, bountiful in giving. Masagana sa pagbibigay. Mindful of spending. Thankful for receiving. And bountiful in giving. These are the three attitudes of free liberality which we see both in David and his people, the Macedonian churches, and from the exhortation of our Lord Jesus. First of all then, mindful of spending. You notice here how David inventoried the receipts of the offering in various items of precious substance, gold, onyx, etc. And this is a good thing. It is this that made him realize that the receipts represented so much generosity and sacrifice from the people. And that's what we see with the Macedonians. In fact, in the case of the Macedonians, even more impressive on their part because of their notable poverty. Mahirap sila, ngunit nandun yung kanilang masaganang pagbibigay. So both David and his people, as well as the Macedonian churches, were mindful of God's cause. And being mindful of God's cause, it meant they were mindful of their expenses so that they may have something to give to God's cause. It meant they had to reduce their spending for other things so that they may have something for the Lord's cause. And that's what I mean by mindful of spending. Why? Well, let me put it this way. Where we willingly spend the substantial part of our income is a revealer of our character. Kung saan natin ginagastos yung malaking bahagi, willing spending, sa natin malayang ginagastos ang ating mga pananalapi, ay nagpapahayag ng ating karakter. Somebody said, look at a man's budget and you can quickly tell what matters most to him. And it is true. I can tell you, for example, that I spend a lot on books. And I confess, sometimes impulsively. Minsan napapadaan ako sa bookstore at may nakita akong magandang book. Kung walang pera, kinabukasan may pera na para bilhin yun. And sometimes I say, it's quite impulsive. Eh, napansin ko na naipasa ko yung aking gene sa aking anak. But the point is, you can tell that I am a reader. I want to read. Read on subjects I like. And you can see that from where I spend my money on. This election, you can tell who the serious candidates are. They spend. And mind you, they spend on 30-second commercials what some of us can only dream of earning in 1 year. And yet, they are serious. Why? Because they really want that position. And they're willing to spend for it. And that tells you what it is really they want. Now, let me say, you do not have to defend your private choices of spending. Remember what Peter said to Ananias when he attempted to deceive? Peter told him, while it remained, was it not your own? That is, the money. Was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? In other words, it's a private choice. Peter wasn't rebuking him for the private choice of his private spending. And you do not need to defend to me your private spending. But I'm saying, if you are a follower of Christ, you have involved yourself in God's project. And we need to ask, how much are you involved? You look at David and his people. What cost such generous undertaking on the part of David and the people? Well, in the light of the inexperience of Solomon, according to David, there was in fact a disincentive. But why did they still spend so much? Well, here are the words of David. The work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Dakila ang gawain, sapagkat ang templo ay hindi para sa tao, kundi para sa Panginoong Diyos. Yun ang nakita nila. Bagamat wala silang nakita kay Solomon at that point in order to encourage them, but they looked at the work and the work is the Lord's. And I say that because sometimes our giving is hamstrung or restrained by our inability to see that the cost is God's, not man's. And this is what we need, a heart for God's cause. David was called a man after God's own heart, and David returned that by having a heart for God. And we need one too. Where do you spend? There is some hamon yan sa atin. You know, somebody observed that we spend money. A lot of people spend money they don't have for things that they don't need to impress people they don't like. And maraming nasasayang sa ganyang gastusin. But a heart for God will deliver your hand to His cause, and then we become mindful of the way we spend things that we run out of things to give to God. What is it saying to us as a challenge? In your spending habits, I say, have a part that is sacred for the cause of God. Sa iyong mga gastusin, magkaroon ka ng bahagi na talagang para na sa Diyos, hindi naggagalawin. Sagrado na. Bukod na. And this is what is so impressive about the Macedonian giving that Paul commended. They were very poor. In fact, the poverty of the Macedonian city was noted in antiquity that it was exempted from taxes periodically. Si Caesar mismo, yung emperador ng Roma, ay inexempt itong Macedonia sa iba't ibang panahon sa buwis dahil nga sa kahirapan ng syudad. And if the city was poor, you can conclude that the churches in Macedonia were poor. Now, being poor, what would you expect of a poor man? The poor will be mindful of every expense and purchase, hindi ba? Yung mga mahihirap, namamalaya nila bawat gastusin, bawat binibili, talagang mas dapat nilang sinupin yung kanilang ginagastos. Ngunit nung dumating si Pablo sa Macedonia, and Apostle Paul had no intention of exploiting, quote-unquote, these poor people, yet to his surprise, they saved up for the occasion of Paul's visit and insisted that Paul must receive their offering. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that they must have consciously saved up from their scarce resources in order to give to Paul. They made it sacred. Ginawa nilang sagrado yung bahagi na ito. Hindi na nila gagastusin sa ibang bagay. At para sa mga mahihirap, ang isang ibig lang sabihin niya, may mga hindi na sila ginastos na maaaring makinabang pa sila para lamang may maibigay pagbisita ni Apostol Pablo. They wanted something for God's cause. In fact, the way Paul puts it is even more impressive. According to Paul, they were imploring us, magmamakaawa pa sa amin, with much urgency that we would receive the gifts and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And that's what I mean, they considered their gift as sacred. They really intended it for Paul, so that when Paul came, They were saying, if you don't receive this, it is meant for nothing else. It is meant for you. It is meant for the cause. It is meant for the ministering of the saints. In other words, you must accept because it's for no one else. Well, brethren, this is what we need. Let us be done with a habit of giving that fills the pocket if there is an extra to give. That's not making it sacred. Let our giving habit be that which has put as priority among our spending. Our spending habits. What is it for the Lord? So, free liberality means you will be mindful of your spending. If you give too little, it may be that you're spending too much on other things and the Lord's cause is not sacred. Or the gift to the Lord's cause may not be sacred. Well, again, I know and I give glory to God that is not the case. But let us grow more. Let us be mindful of our spending. Secondly, let us be thankful for receiving. Maging mapagpasalamat tayo sa tinatanggap. Pansin niyo itong salita ni David. Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you and of your own we have given you. Lahat ay galing sa iyo at ang lahat ng binibigay namin ay binabalik lang namin sa iyo. Of your own we have given you. Hindi talaga ito bigay na parang may idinagdag tayo sa Diyos. Ito'y bigay na ibinalik ang ibinigay sa atin ng Diyos. What we are giving is really just returning. The original giver is God. We are the receiver. And the consciousness of this truth will be seen in the liberality of our giving. And that means whatever we have received from the liberality of God's supply to us according to His wisdom, let us be thankful. Ano mang ibinigay sa atin ng Diyos, ito'y ituring natin na mula sa kanyang masaganang kaloob ayon sa kanyang karunungan. Okay, stress that point, it is according to His wisdom in order to address one reality. The reality that the allotments of God are not equal or uniform. It's a fact of life. Yung mga pagkakaloob ng Diyos ay hindi pantay-pantay, hindi uniforme sa lahat ng tao. Ang ibig sabihin, tila may mga mas binigyan ng Diyos kaysa sa iba. There are dynamics in the process of God supplying. Our receiving may factor in such things as our vocation, abilities, investments, diligence, providences. The danger here is to begin to entertain evil thoughts because of what others have more than us. Managhili, mag-isip ng masakit dahil yung iba'y mas sumasagana kaysa atin, ang salita ng Biblia rin ay inggit, pananaghili, and it is sinful. Yes, there are times that we may feel the hurt of inadequacy and scarcity. We may feel the heaviness of it. Sometimes the grave disappointment. Kailan lamang may kinikwento si Pastor George na attender nila na kinakailang operahan sa tumor sa utak. Pero habang siya inooperahan, nagsimulang magdugo at kinakailangan ng blood. Yung blood ay nandun lang sa second floor ng hospital. Pero ang sabi ng administrator, no money, no blood. Ay nagmamakaawa yung misis, darating yung pera, basta salihin na nyo na ng dugo. No money, no blood. And dumating yung pera nung ito'y i-rush. Pero nung dumating yung pera, wala na. Hindi na naagapan yung kawawang lalaki. And it's all because of lack of money. And we feel that. We feel those occasions when because of lack of money, something could have been different. Now the danger is to take it hard on God. Let us ask ourselves, have we really been thankful There are times when it is hard to be thankful when there is so little. But have we been thankful for the peso, even without the 100? Have we been thankful for the 100, even without the 1,000? Have we been thankful for the 1,000, even without the 5 digits? And you see what I am driving on. Grateful for the little. Why should the Lord supply us with more when we cannot be grateful for the little? So thankfulness is a fundamental virtue. Gratitude to God for every blessing is prerequisite to liberal giving. Yung pagpapasalamat sa bawat pagpapala ng Diyos ay lubhang kailangan para maging maluwag yung ating pagbibigay. And remember, gratitude, yung pagiging mapagpasalamat, is one of the most fundamental virtues God seeks in mankind. When God wanted to drive home the sinfulness of man, that is the universal sinfulness of man, He began with 2 things in Romans 1:21. That even though they knew God, 2 things God can accuse of all men, they did not glorify God, neither were they thankful. For just those 2 things, there is universal sinfulness. Sa dalawang bagay lang na yon, ang pagkamakasalanan ay pangkalahatan. Yung hindi niluluwalhati ang Diyos at hindi nagpapasalamat sa Diyos sa makatuwid. Ito ang isa sa mga bagay na hinahanap ng Diyos sa atin sa sangkatauhan, magpasalamat. And only gratitude can overcome even the reality of poverty and turn one still into a giver, happy even in his poverty. You know, Henry Ford, the inventor of the automobile, after inventing the automobile, he became super rich, perhaps the first tycoon in history, earning his millions, which would be equivalent today, into billions. But he said this in one frank confession. He said, I was happier when I was doing a mechanic's job. Mas masaya pa ako nung ako'y mekaniko pa lamang. Wala sa pera. Wala sa yaman, kundi doon sa pagpapasalamat. A contented man with thankfulness in his heart would be happier in a shanty house than a grumpy tycoon in his mansion. So where is our gratitude? Hanapin natin yun. Ask yourself, have I thanked God lately? I don't mean the perfunctory, formal, thank you Lord for this bounty, amen. Rather, real thankfulness to God. We have been singing just before this message that we will only know how much we owe. There's so much we owe to the Lord. Have we been thankful? And it is impossible to really thank the Lord in the posture of a grasping hand. A thankful heart will open the hand in giving. So there must be thankfulness for receiving, and finally, bountiful in giving. Here again, we have the words of Paul in commendation of the Macedonians. They first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. What is he saying? He is saying that our giving is a measure of our relationship with and commitment to the Lord. Huwag nating isiping yun lang, marami pang sukatan. Pero isa sa mga sukatan ng ating pagka-espiritual, ng ating maturidad sa Panginoon, ay ang ating pagbibigay. Our giving is a measure of our relationship with and commitment to the Lord. If you say, well, that's just money. Certainly, there's more to spirituality than the money we give. Well, think again. Did you know that of the 38 parables of our Lord Jesus in the Gospels, 38 parables, 16 have something to do with possessions. Now, that's a big proportion. Which means that this is a real test. Giving is seen as the outgrowth and fruit of commitment to the Lord. They gave themselves to the Lord. There is that initial giving of oneself to the Lord. If there is anyone here who has not given himself to the Lord in faith and repentance by coming to Christ, you hear again and again that invitation, come to Christ. And when we come to Christ, there is that refreshing of giving ourselves to the Lord again and again. And when we give ourselves to the Lord, one measure is how we give to God's cause. So one who has dedicated himself to the Lord will definitely never become isolated. He will never become selfish. Because Paul said, they gave themselves to the Lord and to us. Yun ang kasunod. Binigay nila ang sarili nila sa Panginoon at sa amin. Sa simulain ng mga mananampalataya. So I said, free liberality is the opposite of calculating possessiveness. Calculating possessiveness in our attitude, in our practice of giving, such calculating possessiveness will fill us with fretting, always fearing that we might have exceeded our giving. Ang lagi iniisip ay sobra na, bawas, bawas. At nagbawas ng nagbawas. Lagi iniisip baka sobra. And this is the point then of our Lord. Remember that this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. What's the point of the Sermon on the Mount? Who are the true members of the kingdom? What are their characters? And one character that Jesus commended of the true members of the kingdom is what their right hand give, their left hand forget. A forgetfulness in the sense of carefree when it comes to giving to the Lord's cause, when it comes to giving to help others, not calculating, not a computing attitude, but rather carefree and liberal. One minister stood before his people and said this, I have good news and bad news. The good news is we have enough money for our building program. The bad news is most of that money is still in your pockets. Well, we don't have to make that hard sell, and you never heard me make any such hard sell in this church. We don't need to. But it is sadly true of many churches. They should have enough money, but sadly much of that money is not given. And again, I'm thankful that we can say that that is not so of this church, but let us continue to grow. When Mount Vesuvius, the volcano, erupted in 79 AD, Pompeii was one of the cities buried na libing ng mga volcanic ashes. And it took 2,000 years. Yes, 2,000 years. Before archaeologists could excavate that place of Pompeii. At yung ginawa nila, dahil yung katawan na nalibing ay natunaw, samantalang yung volcanic ashes ay nanigas, nilagyan nila ng plaster of Paris yung empty spaces left by the bodies. And the result was amazing. The actual shape, bodies and facial expressions of those people caught were there in the plaster of Paris. It's still there in the museum. Now, one such figure they discovered was that of a woman reaching out to her pearls. Yung mga perlas niya, inaabot niya. And it was in that posture that the ashes caught her. Ang ibig sabihin, para sigurong Alalot's wife, hindi niya maiwan kahit na andyan na yung mga volcanic ashes. And she was caught and forever preserved for us modern people. The grasping hand is not a 20th century, 21st century phenomenon. It's been there because of a few pearls. She was caught. Well, brethren, what we need is not a computing, calculating possessiveness. What we need is that which is able to free our hearts from grasping, so that giving to the Lord for us is a sacred thing. Not only sacred, a joyful thing. So that we do it liberally, we do it happily. We are now done with another budgeting this year. We thank the Lord for that. Now we are expected, as Paul said of the Macedonians, give yourself to the Lord and to His kingdom. Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo kami, O Diyos, na tunay ngang malaya namin ang napakasagana mong mga kaloob, ang mga napakasagana mong ibinigay, lalo't higit isipin namin ang pinakadakila mong kaloob sa katauhan ng iyong anak na si Jesucristo, na kailanman ay hindi namin madaraig ang iyong ibinigay sa amin. Kaya tulungan mong matulad kami kay David na nakita niyang anumang ibigay namin sa iyo, ibinibigay lamang namin ang nauna mo nang ibinigay sa amin. And so we pray that we will have that attitude characterized by free liberality in our giving, as opposed to one of calculating and computing possessiveness. As we have sung, all that I am and have, thy gift so free, enjoy through life, O Lord, for thee. May that be our attitude of the substance you give to us. Remembering the words of Scripture, honor the Lord with your substance. Grant that we may be mindful of our spending, because we may sometimes be spending too much on other things. We forget the cause of the Lord. But instead, just like the Macedonians, may we treat this as something sacred. The cause of the Lord is sacred, that no matter our poverty or scarcity, there is something we could give if only we treat it as more sacred. Grant, Lord, that we would grow in this grace. Help us to be thankful for whatever we receive. And though we can see your sovereignty in the allotment of what you give to different people, yet we can say that of the people of God, that we have been young, now we can be old, but we have never seen the righteous forsaken or received begging bread. You supply our need. And grant that we would have a grateful heart in response to what we receive. Deliver us from and help us mortify every spirit of envy and complaint and covetousness. And help us, Lord, to be like the Macedonians, those who gave themselves to the Lord and then to the ministering of the saints. May we do likewise, and help us realize that our giving is a measure of our relationship with and commitment to our Lord. So grant us grace that we may overcome a calculating possessiveness in the attitude and practice of our giving. Let there be in us a holy and carefree attitude in what we give to God, instead of forever computing what might be excess. Grant that we may realize how liberal you have been to us from the giving of your Son and all the rest in Him. And may we respond with a desire to give more and to be involved in the project of the kingdom. We thank you for guiding us through another budgeting stage in our church. Now it is time that we truly give ourselves to you and to the ministry. Grant, Lord, that we would grow in this grace. Thank you for the already manifest grace in this area, but we plead for more. because we can never outgive our Lord Jesus Christ. And in His name we pray all these things. Amen.